What's up, Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, because it's better to start small than not start at all. Last week, you heard Nate Jackson explain how he and his wife's Amazon business started with just $100 and had since grown to over $1 million in total sales. That comment, along with a couple threads in the Side Hustle Nation Facebook group that asked for some real-life, low startup cost business ideas, inspired me to put together this episode, the special 400th edition of the Side Hustle Show. Stick around to hear how several Side Hustle Nation members got their businesses off the ground on the cheap. In most cases, you don't need outside capital to get started. Instead, my hope is you'll use these stories as inspiration to start lean and start now. Notes and links to all the resources mentioned in this episode are at sidehustlenation.com/400. Now, some of the ideas thrown around in the community included starting a website, doing lawn care, a cleaning service, buying liquidation pallets, and a bunch of other ideas. And I'll share my actual startup costs for all of my businesses at the end of this episode, but I want to kick this one off with a unique e-commerce business model that carries no physical inventory.
Hi, Julie Berninger here from Gold City Ventures. My side hustle is selling printables for bachelorette parties on Etsy. I started my Etsy shop, The Sway Element, back a few years ago, and I was selling temporary tattoos. I loved this side hustle because I bought the tattoos for 20 cents each and I could sell each one for $2. And typically, when people attend bachelorette parties, they go in groups of 15 to 20 people. So every time I made an order, it was a good chunk of money. It was maybe like 20 bucks an order. And it was so cheap to order them. I actually ordered them in bulk quantity. But when you have a physical product business, you have to worry about inventory. And I had to commit to certain amounts of designs up front. Every time I got an order, I had to go to the post office, and I didn't get an order every day, so it just became one more thing I had to think about, and it wasn't an easy side hustle for me. It wasn't easy enough, I would say, for someone with a full-time job. So that's when I learned about the concept of selling printables, and I actually decided to make a bachelorette party scavenger hunt that you can take on a bar crawl with your friends the night of the bachelorette and check off all those fun activities, like requesting single ladies buy Beyonce at the bar, having someone buy the bride a drink, or finding someone with the name of the groom and taking their picture. So those scavenger hunts I sell for $7 each, and people really like them. This is a very easy passive income or close to passive strategy for me because I make the design on my computer one time, and then I upload it to my Etsy shop, and hundreds of customers can buy it from me with no further action. Sometimes people have questions, but for the most part, I don't get many questions and I can just hear the cha-chings come in. So for someone who is thinking about doing this type of side hustle, you don't necessarily need to be a creative tech wizard, but you do have to get some sort of program on your computer. There are a bunch of free ones like the program Canva that you can use to get started. And then it only costs 20 cents to list a product on Etsy. So if no one likes your product or you decide that you don't like the side hustle, you're really not in the hole for much money. But the upside is pretty great. So my best-selling design, it has made over $1,700 since I listed it, and it only took me maybe 2 hours to make. This is not a side hustle that I spend a lot of time on. I think if you want to start this side hustle, you can expect to make a couple $100 a month. And if you really put a lot of time into it, you could pass that and make a few thousand. It's not something that's going to make you a millionaire overnight. But I think for a couple $100 a month, you can put in a few hours every once in a while. And it could be a really great way to get residual income. Thanks.
If you want to learn more about this business, check out some of Julie's resources over at goldcityventures.com. I mean, anytime you can create something once and sell it over and over again, that's a model that gets me excited. Another resource to check out on that front is episode 366, which was all about dropshipping and selling digital products through Etsy. And stay tuned or hit the subscribe button, because in a couple weeks, I've got another print-on-demand episode with a six-figure merch seller. But next up is another business model you're familiar with, and that's buy low, sell high.
Hey, my name's Chris Baker. I am an eBay reseller. I currently have two eBay stores, one called Four Star Games and the other called Mountain City Closet Co. And I essentially travel around to thrift stores and yard sales and anywhere where I can find a good deal on items, and I resell them for profit. It's one of my favorite low-cost businesses out there. I started with $250. That just happened to be some extra money that I had. That being said, you could really start with just what's in your house. Get some money that way. But I had $250, and my brother and I went in together, and we began purchasing some inventory that we thought was a great deal. So we started with video games because that's what we knew. We were comfortable with electronics and the value of those things. So we're able to travel around. Right away, we knew what was a good deal and what wasn't. So we picked a lot of stuff up and we just started posting it on eBay. Now, the way we know what things are valued at, what we do is when we're out at these thrift stores, at these yard sales, sometimes we just follow our gut. You know, we take a flyer on things and we hope for the best. But a lot of times we use eBay's sold listings. So you can search an item on eBay, then toggle the settings to show only sold things, and you can see what they're actually selling for. And if they're selling at all or selling well, gives you kind of an idea and a baseline of what you're looking for. Fortunately, you know, it took about a week or so, but we started to gain a lot of traction. Sales started going out. Before we knew it, we were doing 5-10 sales a day. And in our first month, after 30 days of selling on eBay, specifically in the video game electronics niche, we were able to gross $3,300 in sales roughly and net about 30% of that. So we were able to more than double our initial investment in month one. It was just an incredible experience. And it's something that is so, so easy. Anyone can do this. And now that we've started to sort of branch out, we're starting to do things that aren't video game related. For example, I just got a really great deal on a lot of yarn. Yeah, yarn. Things that you might not even realize sell well or things you might not know a lot about initially, but it's all about the trial, the error, using what you learn from others and different sources, podcasts, YouTube, all that good stuff, and being able to put that into action and actually, you know, make a really decent extra amount of money for yourself. It's learning how eBay works is really what's important here. So learning how to make a listing, how to take nice photos. Right? They don't need to be professional. They just need to be nice. Learning how to take a lot of photos, right? eBay lets you post 12. You should definitely get close if you can, at least 6. And once you figure out those little things and how to make a listing, you can really just go into rapid fire mode, make a lot of listings, and things start to sell slowly but surely. And it's an exponential business. The more sales you have, the more credibility you have. The more credibility you have, the more sales you make. This month, currently, we're in month 2 of the business. We're currently sitting at $1,000 gross or so in the first, after week 1 this month. So, you know, we're trending to get closer to that 4 grand mark this month, which I think we're really eager to hit. But now that we've expanded into the second store with things that are much more everyday and typical, I think we can grow that even more quickly. So really excited to share my experiences with you. eBay is not the end all, right? We'd love to get into Amazon and those other reselling areas as well. But eBay reselling, a very, very cost-effective side hustle.
Way to take action, Chris. Goes to show you the profits are out there if you work for it, and it's a viable way to multiply money pretty quickly. One resource I want to share here is a free training from the Flea Market Flippers, Rob and Melissa Stevenson. You'll find that at sidehustlenation.com/FMF for Flea Market Flipper. Rob's been on the show a couple times. Most recently was a couple summers ago in episode 298. And I'm excited actually to interview one of their Flipper University students coming up. So stay tuned for that. Now, did you know that roughly half of Side Hustle Nation hasn't started their side hustle yet? If that's you, I get it. Starting and building a business is tough. It takes more than just an idea. There are tons of moving parts, and it's a bit like trying to assemble your airplane in the middle of takeoff. Thankfully, our sponsor Taylor Brands is helping Side Hustle Show listeners make that leap and make it all a lot easier. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, making sure you have everything you need all in one place. Think of it like your behind-the-scenes partner for things like LLC formation, licenses and permits, getting an EIN, setting up your business bank account, bookkeeping and invoicing, insurance, logos, trademark protection, and a lot more. Taylor Brands helps you handle it all seamlessly. And to get you started, Side Hustle Show listeners get 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans when you use our link. That's taylorbrands.com/sidehustle. Taylor Brands, like a tailor for your clothes, taylorbrands.com/sidehustle. Start your business journey today with the help of Taylor Brands. When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search and hit the ground running with your new hire. But what if you could get rid of the search part and just get matched with qualified candidates? Well, now you can with our sponsor, Indeed. It's simple. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. The matching and hiring platform is trusted by over 3.5 million businesses worldwide to connect with great talent faster. And 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. For my next hire, I'm using Indeed to tap into a talent pool of 350 million unique monthly visitors. And what else is cool is Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use it, the better it gets. And how about this? Side Hustle Show listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Just go to Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. We've covered a couple product-based businesses here, but selling a service is another low overhead way to get started, as Julian Pletz explains.
Hi, Nick. My business is called Blueprint Social and can be found at blueprint-social.co.uk. Blueprint Social specializes in helping small businesses in the northwest of England engage a larger audience on social media. I draw on over a decade's experience in my main job in the media and help local organizations tell compelling stories online and hopefully, ultimately, grow their brand. We offer small businesses the sort of specialized online marketing services that are normally reserved to larger organizations with mega budgets. I started my business after reading two very compelling books, which I would recommend any side hustler pick up, which are The E-Myth, which taught me about the importance of working on and not just in your business, and Company of One by Paul Jarvis, which gave me the mindset of focusing on customer service first and foremost, and the permission, it gave me the permission to not focus on scale as the be-all and end-all. Both books presented to me the idea of just getting on with it. So I set up the social media channels for the business in a day with all the content that goes there and set myself the target of getting the website up and running in a fortnight, which we just about hit. I think it was like maybe a day over, but we got there. With registering a company, website development, and some secondhand filming equipment, I was able to get my company off the ground for a princely sum of £282, which in your money is roughly $350. For me, my philosophy is about being lean and relying on my abilities and skills that I honed in my day job. Company of One also taught me to consider my MVP, which is translated to your minimum viable profit, which I was creeping towards even before my website went live as I netted my first client. Then a mini disaster struck, lockdown, and my first client, a local F&B business, was forced to shut its doors. I decided that I had to keep my overheads low. Because I'd kept my overheads low, I could continue to service that client through lockdown for free while looking for other clients, and I would run and grow their social media following despite a halt to their physical operations, which worked out in the end. The goodwill that earned my business, Blueprint Social, has led to a second client for whom I've developed their entire brand, their website, and I'm so passionate about that I've even started a side hustle, an amuse-bouche hustle, if you will, with them. And I'm working as a fitness boot camp instructor for them on part-time, which is great fun. With low overheads and a purposefully lean operation, I turned a profit almost immediately, and I'm not far off my revenue goal to start hiring and outsourcing some of the work so I can scale. But I'm in no hurry, as I love working with clients and I find myself getting personally invested in helping them grow their business, which in turn sees me grow my own business. It's a win-win and I love it. Once again, thanks very much for everything you do, and I hope this makes it into the podcast. If it does, I really appreciate it. Cheers, buddy. Bye.
Starting with a service business makes a lot of sense. And in fact, more Side Hustle Show guests started with that model than with any other. It gets you used to finding and solving problems. And like Julian said, you can get started for next to nothing in most cases. If you want to learn more, check out startmysidehustle.com. That's my introductory course for everyone looking to get off the sidelines and into the game. And Paul Jarvis, who wrote Company of One, was a guest on the show last spring in episode 329, if you want to check out our conversation. Among my favorite sound bites from that episode was Paul's assertion that most goals are fake. It'll definitely have you questioning what you're really striving for. In any case, few things bring me greater joy than listeners who take action on what they hear on the show and get results, which brings me to our next clip.
Hello, my name is Victor Reynolds. You can find me at victordreynolds.com. I am a land investor, so I buy and sell vacant land properties, and I've been making my living full-time doing that for a short while now. I first heard about this side hustle from this podcast, funny enough. Soon after hearing it, after hearing a lot of options, I felt this was the one that had the most potential for me. So I bought a course, and I spent literally, I mailed out some offers to people who own property in the area. The area happened to be just in Nevada. And I basically spent about $100 or so mailing to a bunch of different people. And a couple people wanted to sell their property because they inherited it and they bought it long ago and they weren't doing anything with it. Some of them didn't even live in the state. So they knew they weren't doing anything but paying taxes. So one property I bought during that initial run was for literally $100. I ended up selling that property later on for $2,000. Another property I bought in that initial run was for $400, and I sold that for $4,000. Now, I didn't have the skills back then to sell at those prices right away, but what I did do is sell it where people can pay it off in payments and installments. So they'll pay me a down payment, $100 or so, and then they'll pay me $100, $200, whatever it is per month until they finally pay off the property. I'm excited because I have passive income coming in, or in my current state, I actually just sell it for a large sum of the amount instead of having the people pay it off in pieces. So if you want to hear more about how you can turn a vacant land lot in the, basically in the middle of nowhere into passive income or quick cash, you can find me at victordreynolds.com. And I will be glad to show you what I know and let you know how you too can turn vacant land into cash.
Now, Victor is bending the rules a little bit here because investing in a course adds a non-trivial amount to your startup costs, but very happy to hear he was able to recoup that and then some and actually turn land flipping into a full-time income stream. If that business sounds interesting, I encourage you to check out episode 330 with Roberto Chavez, or just Google Side Hustle Nation land flipping and it'll pop right up. The next clip I have is an online business example where an entrepreneur packaged up the skills and expertise they were developing at their day job to create content and sell digital products online.
My name is Andre Smith, and my business is called Car Sales Story. I do automotive sales training through a combination of books, audiobooks, courses, a collaborative Facebook group, and one-on-one phone calls. I started the business while working full-time at a car dealership. My business is pretty easy to get started and it only costs around $100 if you take into account that I already had access to a laptop. I already knew the material since I teach the skills that I've been practicing at my full-time job. It all started with a website where I taught automotive call center employees how to do better at their job. Now, I chose this topic because I was hiring automotive call center employees at my full-time job and having trouble finding resources that I could use to train my new employees. I think a lot of people have this situation where they're doing something, they find a speed bump or something that slows them down or something that's annoying, and then they start a business in order to help other people navigate that problem. Now, since I had to invent new processes anyways, I figured that I would just write down what was the curriculum I was teaching at work and put it into blog posts. This made my full-time job at the car dealership easier, since as I wrote things down at night, I could then craft a handbook of sorts to give to my new employees. Now, that handbook kind of became my first book, which I now sell. Now, to get started, I spent money on a website, which is pretty simple. You know, that involves hosting, a theme, and my domain name. I learned everything I needed to build a blog for free using some great online resources, such as Ian Preble's FIMP program, spelled F-I-M-P. That basic program that got me off the ground was free, although since I liked the basic training, I did pay for some of the advanced courses he taught. Now, my process was really simple in order to generate content that naturally grew into the products that I now sell. A lot of people have difficulty making the content in the first place, and I think that it's key to find a kind of simple process. Now, I would start with an idea of a topic that I'd want to discuss, such as what to wear at a car sales job. Then I'd go on Google and I'd find Reddit threads or Quora threads and forum posts about the topic for a second opinion. I would combine that with some keyword research, figuring out what people are searching on Google for this topic, such as using like Google Trends. And I'd take all that information, mostly my own opinions mixed in with a little bit of the opinions of other people, and I'd write a targeted blog article. For instance, on the what to wear at a car sales job topic, I found out that people tended to Google car salesman dress code, so I wrote my article to target those words. Now, after writing 100,000 words worth of blog posts over a few months, I compiled my best bits into a book. I sold that book on my website for about $40 a copy. Then I wrote a second book based on the feedback I received on the first book. I started a Facebook group and a MailChimp email list, and I made a very simple funnel to take blog readers and get them to join the mailing list, then join the Facebook group, and then consider buying some coaching and courses. Overall tips, I think it's important to not get overwhelmed. Everything you do in your own business will gain a little life of its own. I wrote blog posts that became books, and those books became audiobooks, and those audiobooks have become online courses. And those online courses can now lead to direct trainings or in-dealer trainings. Everything is pretty natural when you feel comfortable in your niche. Everything that you do will lead into the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, as long as you're helping people solve problems. Now, I do a lot for free right now for people that need my help, and I try to get my Facebook group to be a helpful landing page for people that need answers. I think it's really key to try to build a community, and building a community involves giving away a lot of your time for free and your advice. And I think that there's a lot of value there. If you can kind of plant the seed of a helpful community, you'll grow something that has a lot of value for a lot of people. And now my Facebook group, has 500 members and they all talk to each other. It's pretty awesome. Now, for the last year, it has just been humming away, this little business where I sell books in the background with a little input from me, maybe an hour or two a month. The books and audiobooks make me a few $100 a month, nothing crazy, and my Facebook group and mailing list grow by about 50 or so people per month. So it's kind of passively growing and making me money. Now, in the near future, I'll probably be leaving my current job selling cars, and I'm excited at the prospect of taking my smile side hustle into a more profitable business. I might scale it up, depending on what I choose to do. So that's Andre Smith with CarSalesStory.com, and you can always email me at AndreSmithBusiness, spelled AndreSmith, business@gmail.com. Thank you.
In Andre's case, it was a lot of upfront investment in terms of creating the content and learning the ropes, but now he's set up the foundation for a digital product business that can continue to earn in a very time-leveraged fashion. And in fact, he's already begun to see that. Next up is Rhonda from Sky and Earth Studio. She's a self-taught metalsmith who turned a small investment in tools and materials into a jewelry business.
I started this business with about $200 and really no prior knowledge or experience of making any type of jewelry. I watched YouTube videos to learn the techniques I wanted to try, and then I spent about $140 on a few basic tools like a propane torch and a few hammers, and then I spent a large portion of that on just silver wire and sheet metal to experiment with. Vendor's license at that time, I think, was $25. After I had a little bit of inventory built up, I split the cost of a craft show booth with my mother. I think my half was about $50. And this was really a huge leap for me, just because I never made any jewelry like this before. And also because I'm chronically shy, so I was really putting myself out there on two fronts. But it worked out. The first day of the show, I made about $250. And then the second day, I made, I think, around $400. But I have since started a few more side hustles for pretty cheap. I started a soap making business for under $100, and that continues to do really well. I make cold processed soaps out of vegan ingredients and all natural ingredients with no artificial or synthetic fragrances or colors. And it's done really well, I think, because I niched it way, way down. I'm really excited for the prospects of that business. But the jewelry business is definitely my bread and butter right now. After that first really successful craft show, I invested in more tools and more supplies, and I applied to more craft shows and pop-ups, and I would try to do several a month. And I really liked it, and it was a good way to make money. One day at a show, at a one-day show, I made $1,000, and that was a really big day for me because, you know, I'm not formally trained as a metalsmith. I don't have any formal skills. I don't have a college degree. I'm just a stay-at-home mom, and I was able to make $1,000 in one day, and that was so uplifting and eye-opening for me. And I still do craft shows, but a few years ago, I was suffering from a little bit of burnout. So I started teaching workshops and small classes at just like restaurants and bars in my area. Usually charge about $40 to $50 for a 1 hour class. I cap the classes at about 15 people, but the business is healthy. Right now, even with the pandemic, I'm making about $700 a week on jewelry and the other little artsy things that I make too. And this is just from doing a weekly market and word of mouth and posting things to my Instagram and my business FB page. So I'm in love with what I do. It's easy. I love the work. I love the product. And I get to be home with my kids. I love it. Thanks for having me.
If you travel a lot for work or for vacation, you might be familiar with that feeling you get knowing you're leaving your space unused for long periods of time, and you're still paying for that privilege. But hosting on Airbnb means you don't have to leave your home sitting empty when you're away. Being an Airbnb host isn't just a way to earn some extra cash. It's a chance to share your space and make a guest's vacation all the more memorable. You might be thinking, maybe my place isn't the right fit, but don't write it off just yet. Your potential Airbnb might be right in front of you. Whether it's a spare room or even your entire home, there's an opportunity waiting. Airbnb turns your home into a practical and even profitable venture. We just got back from a family trip to Hawaii where we stayed in a great Airbnb, but our place back home could have been a highlight to somebody else's travels, and we could have used the extra cash to help pay for the trip. So if you're curious about hosting on Airbnb, find out how much your space could be worth by visiting airbnb.com/host. Once again, that's airbnb.com/host. The next clip is an excerpt from episode 256, which aired back in 2017, which covered 8 different business models with free or potentially better than free startup costs. Definitely encourage you to check out the full episode if you missed it. But here are the startup costs for all of my businesses up to that point. But let's check out some of the startup costs for every one of my businesses. And this goes back 20 years. So when I was 15, I sold some candy at summer camp. This is Boy Scout summer camp to date myself. And I remember going to Costco with mom. So mom probably fronted the cash for this, and hopefully I paid her back, but probably bought $20 worth of candy and was able to turn around and flip it at summer camp for probably double the money, right? You could undercut the trading post that was there, and you were more convenient because, you know, everybody was at your campsite instead of like having to walk down the trail to the general store or to the trading post. A few years later, I started a painting business, and the startup cost for that was really the truck that I bought. It was a $3,500 truck, a 1991 Toyota pickup, which was like half of my net worth at the time, but I also got the truck out of the deal, which had some resale value. Later on in college, I started a real estate investing business. It was a few thousand dollars in training for that, which in retrospect was kind of the thing you could probably find on your own in books, but I was young and wanted some hand-holding from people who were really doing it. And I invested some of the profits from the painting business into that training. And what happened was the training and the motivation from having invested in it did get me off the sidelines and into my first deal. It was a lease option property that had disaster written all over it. And I got out, thankfully, just before the crash and made some money on it. But it was definitely an example of sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. After that, I started the shoe business, which I've talked about before. It was $5 at the time to open a Google AdWords account, which I think now it's free to do that. I started off with a budget of $1 a day to try and validate that people were going to buy shoes through these links. And then once I had done that, several months later is when I went on guru.com and found a developer to help build out the site, build the database, and kind of program all the stuff that I had in mind for this comparison shopping engine that, you know, was in my mind the way to scale the little direct link building business that I had going.
while I was running the shoe business, I started a handful of other affiliate sites, which ranged in startup costs from $10 for a domain name to $100 for some, you know, theme customizations and stuff like that, all the way up to $5,000 for, you know, more advanced programming stuff. And most of those, sadly, kind of flopped, but a few of them are still, you know, are still running today, are still generating some income today. Side Hustle Nation, this is the one that's near and dear to my heart, cost me $100 for the domain. I had to buy the domain secondhand. Somebody had started a site on sidehustlenation.com and they weren't doing anything with it. So I was like, I think I made them an offer and they were like, all right, deal. So $100 for the domain, $60 for the podcast mic, $15 for the first month of podcast hosting. I spent $15 on Fiverr for the original voiceover intro and outro music. And in like, if I'm being honest, it's probably the best $200 I ever spent. Like, that's been a totally life-changing project. So very low startup cost, very low investment on that front. And it's been awesome. Tons of fun. I started a recruiting business shortly after that, which was $0. And then later put down, I think, $49 a month to access a job board. I started a freelance writing business for $0. I got my first clients on Fiverr. I started an Amazon FBA business, you know, doing the retail arbitrage thing. I think I spent probably a couple $100 in the first few weeks on inventory there, but really not a lot of correlation between the startup cost and the eventual success or failure of the business. But obviously, the cheaper you can get something off the ground, the less financial risk you have.
Since then, I honestly haven't started a ton of new stuff, instead just focusing on the blog and podcast and the current projects that I've got. And of course, the relentless demands of parenting. But I want to leave you with this idea because I think it's probably the most important thing you'll hear today. This is Todd Tresider of financialmentor.com on why, if you can keep startup costs low and your ideas have a strong profit potential, success is inevitable. It's just a matter of finding the thing that hits.
Wealth is governed by mathematical expectancy, and I'm not going to get all math on people. I'm not going to freak people out, but it's just, it's an equation that governs wealth growth, and it's probability times payoff. Now, adding that second dimension is absolutely key because it means that extraordinarily large positive payoffs and extraordinarily large negative payoffs have a disproportionate effect on your wealth growth equation. The way a smart wealth builder works is they always build their plan for the big gain, the big win, but then they always guard for small losses. And by tilting with big gains and small losses, what happens is your wealth becomes inevitable. It's just a question of sample size at that point. And that's the unique thing about the business asset class for your listeners is the unusual thing about business asset class is you can be wrong 99 times out of 100 and still have all the wealth you need. You can't do that in any other asset class because the other asset classes, both real estate and paper assets, are the compound return on equity. Whereas business, you're literally creating equity out of thin air.
Does that make sense? It's an idea I think is incredibly powerful. It takes the pressure off finding the so-called perfect business and flips the scripts to say, yeah, of course I'm going to have failures along the way. You don't need everything to be a home run, but you do need to just keep stepping up to the plate. Be curious to hear about your bootstrapped side hustles. If you have a real life $100 startup or even a $500 startup, let me know in the comments for this episode, sidehustlenation.com/400, or shoot me an email, nick@sidehustlenation.com. I'm always looking for fun and creative stories to share. And if you're still looking to get started, I hope these examples show you that you don't need to make a huge upfront investment. Like Todd said, tip the wealth equation in your favor by limiting your downside and shooting for something that will add up to a big win, whatever that means for you. And that is it for me. As always, thank you so much for tuning in, whether it is your first time or your 400th, it means the world to me. If you've gotten some value from the Side Hustle Show, text a friend your favorite episode. Tell them to check it out. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen, and I'll catch you in the next edition of the Side Hustle Show, where I'm unveiling the Productivity Pyramid, a new framework to help you make the most of your limited hours. I'll see you then. Hustle on.
As a Side Hustle Show listener, I know you're driven. Otherwise,
you wouldn't be here. But I also know you can end up hustling and driving yourself into exhaustion, overwhelm, and even burnout if you don't stay anchored to why you're doing it. That's why I want to recommend another podcast that will massively support your side hustle. It's called What Drives You with host Kevin Miller. Kevin's a former pro athlete. He's a lifelong entrepreneur who started 19 different businesses. He's a father of 9 kids, an author, and a mountain adventurer as well. He knows both the glory and the dark side of drive and has devoted his life to helping people who want to drive further, faster, but also enjoy the ride every single day. He brings on today's most influential people in personal and business development to see what drives them and get their guidance on the key ingredients that power our own drive. If you want to fully harness your drive and find peace and fulfillment in the process, go find What Drives You with Kevin Miller wherever you listen to podcasts.